But now it's time for the Sunday Playhouse, and another chance to hear Colin Douglas's acclaimed medical satire, Smart Boy Wanted. The play is set on the day of interviews for the coveted post of senior registrar at an Edinburgh hospital. Smart Boy Wanted.
Yes?
Good afternoon. Dr. Chaudhry. Gautam Chaudhry. For an interview?
No. For the senior registrar job.
Uh-huh. In general medicine?
Yes, yes. Your name's on the list. Interview in the boardroom. Second floor. Waiting room on the first floor. You can go up.
Thank you.
Even though you're a bit early.
Thank you very much, sir.
Don't get up. Please don't get up, Dr. Watt.
Afternoon, Sir John. How are you?
Thank you. Watt? Good field?
Awfully good, I thought, Sir John.
Well, goodish. One or two of the usual, you know.
Yes, quite so. Exactly.
Chaudhry again? And that woman.
Yes, it's awfully difficult, really. But it's encouraging to see some of our own younger chaps beginning to come up.
Yes. Young Duffy?
Yes, quite, Sir John. Graham's got great potential. And it is only his first interview for a senior registrar post.
It's Duff.
Sir?
Duff, not Duffy.
Yes, sir. Graham Duff.
Oh, you said Duffy. You're getting him mixed up with the Irish chap. And we're seeing him third, not first.
Exactly, sir.
And the woman. Oh, yes, Boyd. Yes. She seems to have been around a bit.
Yes, and of course she's been stuck in diabetes for such a long time.
Which will go against her. Again.
Badly advised, I suppose. It's awfully sad.
But their husband's doing all right.
They went to Canada, as you know, Sir John. All that research. Diabetes again, I'm afraid. And she came back alone.
Uh-huh.
It's awfully difficult. Everyone's terribly sympathetic, of course. But she has got so stuck in diabetes.
I thought last night...
Sir?
I thought it was probably best to make a couple of phone calls. Oh, I'm never sure if one really should, but I did usually do, as a matter of fact. Strictly speaking, of course, one should.
Quite, sir.
But it does so much to help avoid misunderstandings.
Professor Nicholson actually rang me last night. Yeah, about something else completely, but he did mention, you know, this afternoon, an awfully important appointment.
Is this the...
Oh, yeah, yes. Pride and Prejudice. Interesting, but not her best book, I think. Oh, forgive me. But perhaps we should formally introduce ourselves. Chaudhry, Gautam Chaudhry. You, I take it, are our token woman for this afternoon.
Oh.
I am, as they're now putting it, the token toaste.
Oh. I've seen your letters in diabetic outpatients.
Oh, now that was some time ago. And you?
Oh, Boyd. Margaret Boyd.
Uh-huh. And you're with the Diabetes Service now?
Mm-hmm.
Your first time at this sort of thing?
Well, no.
Of course. I recall your name being mentioned for the job that Bill Reed got.
That was one.
Well, for some reason, I was not shortlisted for that one. A hint, perhaps. But they seem to have relented again.
It's my fourth, actually, if you're interested.
Oh, one doesn't wish to pry. But at four, there's still hope. Less, I think, when you get to six.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry.
Please. It becomes relaxing eventually. Any surprise at this stage would be a very pleasant one indeed. And if one thinks of it simply as an eccentric way of spending an afternoon off to talk with people or catch up with one's reading...
Last time I tried persuasion.
You tried?
Oh, it's a book. Jane Austen.
Yes. Well, perhaps next time I'll bring Great Expectations.
Oh, hello, Maggie.
You're a bit early, aren't you? Graham, do you know Gautam Chowdhury?
Hello, Tom.
Graham. Now, Graham and I are old friends. My houseman once. With old Hetty in the Department of Funny Walks, eh? A promising young neurologist, I thought. Well done, Graham. Nice to see the young men getting on. Your first time?
Yes.
Experience only, they say. Well, but you never know. It's very nice to be asked along. Congratulations.
Thanks, Tom.
A moment ago, Maggie and I were laughing about our excessive experience.
So where is everyone?
I think that clock may be a little fast, Sir John.
Unusual for anything to do with the board's head office, eh?
Yes, it's quite, Sir John. But in the real world, it's still 3 minutes.
I've always made a point of being early for these things. Not just the politeness of kings. Allows for useful consultation. Nothing improper, just getting a feel for exactly what sort of chaps wanted and then digging it from there once it gets official. Not that there's a great deal of anxiety about this one.
Well, one would certainly hope not.
But nobody should take things for granted, ever.
Of course not. I took the precaution...
Oddly enough, old Joe Rather rang me up last night. Something about the physicians and surgeons golf outing. Dinner, speeches, that sort of thing. Uh-huh. But he did mention I'd probably run into Sandy in the course of the afternoon. Not so sure about that. Wouldn't have done it myself.
Oh, of course not.
I suppose what I mean is I hope I wouldn't have felt I had to.
I took the precaution of ringing Sandy myself last night. Although that's quite different, of course. Just as a friend, to go over the form, who's who and so on. Naturally, he's nervous.
Well, I shouldn't think there's too much to worry about. And Norrie Nicholson's given them a very keen reference.
Oh, good.
So where is everyone?
Oh, Sandy Ratho by about a mile. Unless he goes in there and suddenly becomes incontinent of urine.
I think this is a Ratho I've not come across.
G.R.'s son.
Oh, and brother Fraser.
That's our awfully nice Sandy.
Well, I'm sure it all helps. And where is this young man working now?
With Professor Nicholson.
Oh, no.
Maggie, more experience...
Ah, there you are, John.
Bobby.
Hi, hello, Hamish.
Bobby.
How are you?
Oh, well, it could be better. I'll tell you, if I'd known the lift was going to be out of order, I suppose I could have done a wee bit of training for this afternoon, eh?
Quite. He said Hamish and I were just discussing the vexed question of lay representation on these committees. Can't remember exactly when it started. I think they began by putting him in consultant appointment committees. Now it's for senior registrar interviews, too. The remorseless advance of democracy. No doubt they'll be wanting to vet the first-year medical students one day. But it's unsound, fundamentally unsound in principle.
You're quite right, John. But not a lot we can do about it now. So, who have we been landed with today?
Oh, someone did mention a lady lay member.
Oh, grand, eh? She can swap knitting patterns with a boy glass.
And I think it's a Ms., you know, the sort of person. New to the health board, too.
Oh, well, let's hope she'll at least have the sense to look in this afternoon as simply a learning experience.
I believe she's known for her leftward affiliations.
Really? Mm-hmm. Some kind of la passionara of the local Confederation of Health Service employees, I shouldn't wonder. Might be interesting to have a Marxist perspective for a change.
Ms. Macmillan.
And late into the bargain.
You know, there was a marvellous old lay representative I once interviewed with. An old coal merchant. It was for a surgical job. He'd ask all the candidates... what might be the cause of the lumps in his Labrador?
Yes?
Hey, I've come for the interview for the SR job, general medicine.
Yes.
McGrory, Dr. F.X. McGrory.
Yes, you're on the list, but you're a bit early.
Excuse me, do you mind...
Oh, no, go right ahead.
Sorry, but I'm a bit late. The interview... general medicine. senior registrar post?
Name?
Macmillan.
Sorry, you're not on the list.
But I was told to come here.
You've been told wrong. You're not on the short list.
No, sorry. I'm actually on the committee.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Miss Macmillan, Dr. Walker, the chairman for this afternoon, is expecting you in the hospitality room, second floor. The lift's just across there. I'm so sorry.
Thanks. See you in there, Dr. McGrory.
Oh, yes, I see you in there.
And for you, Doctor, there's a small waiting room on the first floor. You'll be called up for interview in due course.
Thanks, sir. Thanks very much.
There's no sign of Norrie Nicholson yet.
No, indeed, Andrew. Ah, good afternoon, Jan.
I'm really sorry, Dr. Walker. No excuse. I just cut it too fine for the traffic.
Oh, absolutely no rush. No problem at all. Might even be a good thing to start a little late. Let's the chap's nerves settle, eh? And we're still waiting for a couple more. Do you know Andrew McSuit, one of our administrative medical colleagues? Jan Macmillan, representing the board.
Pleased to meet.
Well, Jan, perhaps we might just go straight in, unless...
No, I'm fine, Dr. Walker, thank you.
Good. Well, the others should be along any second.
Oh, God. Oh, Maggie. Come on. You wouldn't expect them to feel obliged to explain every little delay to the likes of us. Now, would you? Hmm? I'm sure it's nothing sinister. So, why don't you take a minute to powder your nose and freshen up? Hmm? They've kept us waiting 10 minutes. If they have to wait one more, so what?
Hey, is this... Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
Is this the waiting room for the General Medicine SR interview?
It sure is, Lieutenant. Welcome aboard.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm sorry we're running a little late already, and likely to get a bit more so, but for the moment it can't be helped. Now, naturally, as your chairman, I shall be saying as little as possible, but it might be useful while we're waiting for the other two to turn up to get through some introductions. Jan, just going round the table, Sir John Grosset, serving this afternoon as a consultant physician, but also, as it happens, a recent president of a whole Royal College of them. Mm-hmm. Hamish Watt, consultant physician at the hospital in which the appointment is based. Mm-hmm. Then a couple of laggards I'll tell you about when they roll up. Bobby Bell, senior lecturer and consultant physician in geriatric medicine.
Hello.
And, of course, Andrew McSuit, whom you met on the way in.
Yes, thank you.
Andrew's the key man on afternoons such as this, the community medicine specialist, or paperclip doctor, as he calls himself. Mm-hmm. His job on these occasions is to see that we play it exactly by the rules, the appointment being a matter of some consequence, not only to the chap or lady most concerned, but also to the board and the health service as a whole, since anyone who makes it a senior registrar is, well, more or less bound to be a consultant within 5 years. Unless, of course, he runs off with the spoons. And there's Jan Macmillan, playing for the board as our lay member. Not a term I'm keen on, by the way. Makes the rest of us sound like a bunch of parsons. But I think those of us who spend a lot of afternoons sitting in here greatly appreciate the contribution of the health board member to the proceedings.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the more successful innovations, I think.
The girl who went out, has she been in?
Well, no. Well, at least she hadn't been in when she went out, so to speak. Now, she merely slipped out to compose herself. Of course, she may have been intercepted and now be in. Yes, probably so. But we would not know, I think.
So they were running late from the start?
So it would seem, Lieutenant. We should introduce ourselves properly, shouldn't we? I'm Chowdhury. This bright young man is Duff.
Hello.
And you?
Frank McGrory.
And You're not from this side of the country.
Right. First time I've been in Edinburgh since a school trip to the castle when I was about 9.
So, you are from the west?
Yeah.
I thought I detected an accent. He's detecting an accent, and no doubt thinking, I am from the east.
Oh, you're an Edinburgh graduate.
Very good. No, alas. But I've been around the scene here for some time. And you? Glasgow and jobs in the west?
Well, you could say so. Glasgow, yes, and jobs in West Africa, then West Lothian, as a matter of fact.
Well, that should give them lots to talk about upstairs.
Is this everybody? I mean, us and the girl who's in.
There is one other, it seems. A fifth man. A quite strong candidate, in local terms. The only terms which matter, of course.
That was quick. How was it, Mags?
It's not... I mean, I haven't... They've been looking for me.
Now you're making it sound as if you're on the run. No, no one's looked in on us. But we rather thought they might have been talking to you.
I just popped out for some fresh air, really. And I suppose I wouldn't have minded just missing the whole thing.
Oh, come on. If you've come this far, you have to go through with it. Now, the breath of fresh air has clearly done you a world of good. Shortly, someone will invite you up, and you'll do very well. Much better than you'd have done 20 minutes ago. Now, I don't think you've met Dr. McGrory.
So anyway, after a couple of days of that sort of nonsense, I just thought to myself, well, if that's Romanian science, I'll settle for Romanian wine. Well, it's not too bad, eh? Especially as a kind of a clarity thing from near the coast. Very nice.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, no. British Rail again. Edinburgh's practically cut off.
Well, have a seat, Brian. Jan, Dr. Brian Roberts is the national panellist.
Hello.
I hasten to add, it's got nothing to do with TV quiz games. Best way of describing it, I suppose, is quality control. Checking up that the chaps and girls have done the right kind of things in training. Brian, Miss McMillan is representing the Health Board. I'm sure you know Sir John.
I do.
Dr. Andrew McSue.
Nicholson, what? I'm sure he knows. I rang him about one or two things, including this, only a couple of days ago.
Oh, since time is passing, there's still no sign of Prof. Nicholson. And since one must think of the younger colleagues downstairs, I'm beginning to wonder if you'd like to think about some contingency plans.
Perhaps, Mr. Chairman, we shouldn't put too much emphasis on hurrying things along. At least meantime.
Oh, come on, John. You know Nonny Nicholson as well as I do. Well, we'll give him another 5 minutes, huh? Now, Andrew, have we a quorum?
I'm sure how Nonny's going to like this.
Yes, but it's awfully...
Andrew?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have.
So there are enough of us?
Mr. Chairman... In an appointment of this sort, the question of university representation...
Absolutely, John, of course. I should explain, Jan. There's a kind of recipe for committees such as this. Chairman, usually a not-too-doddery old medical buffer, such as myself. A CMS, advising but not voting, such as Andrew, to see the chairman's presumed early dementia doesn't cause too many problems. A representation from the Health Board... an invaluable innovation. Two NHS consultants, Sir John and Dr. Watt. A consultant from another specialty, Dr. Bell, from geriatric medicine. A national panellist, Dr. Roberts. And since senior registrar appointments are supposed to have something to do with education, a clever chap from the university. In this instance, Professor Norrie Nicholson, whose open-minded approach to the question of punctuality has posed for us a potential dilemma. But, as I understand it, there may be a little bit of small print that might allow us to proceed legitimately, despite the proverbial absent-mindedness of professors, assuming, of course, that Norrie doesn't roll up within the, I think, 4 minutes we agreed to allow him.
Don't you like this?
All right, I'm thinking, Andrew. Do correct me if there's the least doubt on this very important point, that the happy coincidence of Dr. Bell's appointment being an academic one And that allows us to proceed. You see, there are enough of us, it's already agreed, and if Bobby's happy to bat for the university as well, the recipe should work out all right.
Delighted to help, Jamie. In either capacity, or both.
Correct, Andrew?
Sir.
Good. All of the foregoing to be regarded simply as contingency planning in the unlikely event of Professor Nicholson failing to join us in the next 3 minutes or so.
Well, I'm sure they said Tuesday.
Eh?
What?
No. Okay, it's Friday. Today. Somebody's supposed to be in there at 2 o'clock or 5 past or something. It's 25 past and nothing's happened.
Yes, I suppose it's a bit funny, but I've never been here before, so...
Well, now, in my considerable experience of these affairs... your guess is as good as mine, I suppose. Yeah, but the one thing you can be sure of is that no one will feel in the least bit obliged to offer us an apology... or even the vaguest explanation.
I've never really been one for going to international meetings just for the sake of it, but those east-west things the Romanians lay on at least give you a chance to see how the other half drinks. It's all toasts. A solid week of them. Let us drink to the outstanding academic tradition of Scottish geriatric medicine.
Oh, Norris really is cutting it a bit fine this time. Sure you told him the right place, what?
I hope he's not rampaging around some committee room up in the medical faculty shouting, where the hell's everybody? What?
Oh, gosh, I hope not, Sir John.
I'm not holding you personally responsible, of course.
Perhaps one could pop out and ring his secretary.
Good idea. Or rather, it would have been 20 minutes ago. I'm afraid
not. Well, John, gentlemen, I think that out of courtesy to our younger colleagues, and as agreed in our previous discussion, we really ought to be getting down to business. Andrew, I wonder if you'd be so good?
So there we are, standing around in the usual professorial ward round formation. 12-man, open-planned students at the front, and Norrie Nicholson, who's going on about the importance of taking time and getting a good history, is quite enjoying the seance-like silence while he waits for an answer. Then the patient lets out... sorry, Maggie. Then the patient lets out a bloody great fart. More silence. Suddenly the patient kind of brightens up. He says, is that what you meant, Professor?
Dr. Boyd.
Yes?
Will you follow me, please?
Good luck.
Basically, no chance.
Not grand.
But looking on the bright side, she probably knows that already. And they really couldn't do without her.
What?
Well, look at it this way. If you think you might have a problem with sex discrimination, you have to have a woman on the shortlist. So if that's how it's got to be, you might as well have the same woman for about 2 years on the trot. Always interviewed, never quite getting the job, but all very fair and above board. What prejudiced us? Oh, we always shortlist a woman.
I think I see what you're getting at, Graham, but she seems to have done quite a lot of the right things.
Well, more a case of quite a lot, but not enough of nearly the right sort of things. You see, she didn't do the Been to America thing off her own bat, with her own research project and all that. She went with her husband, who ditched her, a rotten bastard or a sensible man, depending on your point of view, and did fairly routine diabetic stuff at Moose Droppings Medical Center, Saskatchewan. Then came home with her tail between her legs when her man discovered corn-fed nurses from the sun-soaked prairies and went ape. But I suppose that could happen to anyone.
Mm. Poor Dr. Boyd.
Then she got religion. Did you know she pushes off to the loo with a small devotional work in the middle of the diabetic outpatient's clinic? The nurses get really fed up with her. That's probably what she was doing just now. Seeking divine guidance in the toilet from her personal saviour on how to cope with a lot of patronising male chauvinist bastards who are only seeing her as part of the routine cover-up for a well-ordered Edinburgh fix.
Now, Graham.
Good afternoon, Sandy, and how's your father? Oh, splendid, splendid.
So who's in there, apart from her?
Oh, the usual local notables.
I'm sure it's just the same in Glasgow.
According to my information, a good source last night, a chairman, Jamie Walker, pretends to be a silly old bugger, but probably the best dean of medicine we never had. Sir John, of what school did you go to, Grosset? Ex-president of the college. Ex-most things to do with medicine, but still drawing full pay and a top-rated merit award. Hamish Watt, renal physician. He hasn't got one at all. A merit award, I mean. So he's grovelling like hell to anyone remotely powerful, and will do anything this afternoon but anything to avoid upsetting the establishment. So, another guaranteed vote for Rathel. Norrie Nicholson, that's three. Well, enough, really. You know, we could all just wait until Maggie comes out, then take her for a pint, or a wee holy orange juice, and forget about the whole thing, and let justice, Edinburgh medical style, take its course.
Yes, Graham, that's one point of view. But you must think of the next interview, and the one after that, and perhaps even the one after that.
Without further ado, Dr. Boyd, I'll ask Sir John Grosser to start us off. John.
First, let me congratulate you on your curriculum vitae. Beautifully laid out. Absolutely clear in every detail. A model of its kind. Now, I'm sure for a post of the kind for which you've applied, we'd all agree that research experience is very important. So tell me about your main research interests, Dr. Boyd.
Well, Sir
John... Other than diabetes, of course.
Well, Sir John, I was involved some years ago in a project...
But in a unit like Norrie Nicholson's, that sort of curriculum vitae comes round with the sandwiches. Literally. If you turn up for coffee, your name goes down in that week's publication. So, the short answer, Frank, is that Sandy Rathel is not going to win the Nobel Prize in Medicine.
I see.
But only because it's not decided in Edinburgh. I mean to say, grandfather, a Regius Professor of Medicine, father, senior physician at the Southern, big brother, a bit thick, but still doing quite well in clinical chemistry, uncle, a professor in Australia, he must have been a bit thick too, but... So, the boy Sandy, who isn't completely stupid, can at least be shoehorned into a comfortable local consultancy, for which the proper preliminary is a local SR job. Oh, hello, Sandy.
Graham. Hello. Awfully nice to see you.
Oh, moving on. Perhaps Dr. What?
Dr. Boyd, may I first say how much I agree with Sir John about your CV? We see so many that look as if they'd been thrown together simply to catch the last post before the closing date. Yours is outstanding in layout and almost as impressive in content, so I'd like to take this opportunity to compliment you on it. And, of course, diabetes is such an important subject. May I say how pleased I am to come across a candidate who seems to take it seriously. Dr. Boyd, as a diabetologist, you must be familiar with the growing body of literature on diabetes outside the hospital. GP clinics, satellite clinics, mobilizing all the very substantial potential of the community services. Dr. Boyd, do you see these developments leading to an expansion in career opportunities in diabetes outside hospital medicine?
Well, it's not clear yet what's going to happen about new posts. Well, really, I hadn't thought about it.
Perfectly all right. Just wondered. Now, tell me about your outside interests.
Well, I'm interested in cooking.
Huh?
And I've done quite a lot of interior decorating and dressmaking.
Fascinating. Go on.
I do a bit of choral singing with a church group.
Good. So important for hospital doctors to have outside interests. Thank you, Dr. Boyd.
Thank you, Dr. Watt. Dr. Roberts?
Dr. Boyd, you presented a paper to the Scottish Endocrine Society last month, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
Very good paper. But going on to your clinical work, your general medical tick, receiving, waiting, whatever you call it, when you're registrar and call for new admissions. You've been doing it for 4 years, good. How often was that?
Well, the unit's on take for general medical admissions 1 in 4. And, of course, it takes diabetic emergencies all the time.
The diabetic emergencies, how many of them?
Variable, but I suppose on average maybe 10 a week.
Yes. And how many of you on the rota?
Officially 3, often 2, or it's someone junior needing a bit of supervision.
So you'll be on call maybe twice a week and usually busy?
Yes.
And 1 weekend and 3, if not 1 and 2?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Boyd, I don't think you've had a chance to talk to Dr. Bell. Or me?
Oh, yes. Doctor, let me see now. You've been abroad, eh? Oh, come now, Doctor. No need to be shy about it, eh? It must have been jolly interesting. Huh? Just tell us about Nigeria. I see. Sorry, lass. Perhaps you've been abroad at some time? Hmm?
Well, Dr. Bell, I went to Canada with the intention of staying there for 2 years and started a big prospective study of the microvascular complications of diabetes.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
But for various reasons, I came home early. But I believe the study's still going on.
Oh, that's grand. Yeah. Grand. Well, I'm sure you'll get your name in the publication eventually. Now, Dr. Boyd, perhaps you'd like to tell us about your outside interests. Hmm?
Well, as I was saying to Dr. Watt, I'm quite interested in dressmaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a bit of interior decoration, and I like cooking, real gourmet cooking. And recently I've become involved in a bit of voluntary work.
Well, tell us about that then, Dr. Boyd.
Well, a group of us run what I suppose you'd call a soup kitchen for the people in the grass market. But we don't just feed them. We try to talk with them and listen to them and help them to come to terms with themselves and make sense of things.
As we all must, Dr. Boyd, as we all must. And I'm sure your gourmet soup helps a lot too. Thank you, Dr. Boyd. I will no more questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bobby. Jan, do you have any questions?
So, when it comes to the bit, Sandy, basically, she's got no chance. Something funny about her references, too. She has to use Frank Logan now, even though everybody knows he's a shit, because old Halliday, distinguished patron of the turf, just got fed up backing a loser.
I had heard.
You know he calls her Tweety?
Hmm?
Tweety Boyd.
Oh.
And after her third interview, he went round saying, you can't blame them. If Tweety Boyd was a horse, no one would buy her.
Gosh, Graham, really?
But she still has to do about 80% of his NHS work for him.
Thank you, Jan. Well, Dr. Boyd, you've dealt with all our questions with commendable patience. Anything you would like to ask us? About the job? Anything?
No.
Well, in that case, we must thank you very much for coming along. And if you'd care to wait, we should have some sort of news for all of you not too late in the afternoon, I should hope. So, thank you, Dr. Boyd.
Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Jolt, did he know, Mr. Chairman?
Just a moment, Andrew. perhaps, if it's the wish of the committee as a whole, we should try to keep strictly to the allotted time for each candidate.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly liked your approach, Jan. Mm. Short questions, bring them out.
Absolutely.
All the points?
Good.
Andrew, if you'd be so good. Dr. Chowdhury, I think.
Absolutely no problem at all with suits. That's easy. The patron saint of British underwear supplies us all. It's ties that can get you into trouble. One unfortunate Australian senior registrar candidate. Nice chap, but no idea of the local form. Turned up for the interview in a tie remarkably like the one of the Royal Company of Archers. And Grosset, senior figure in that as well as everything else in Edinburgh, was on the committee as usual, and did not take it at all well. Doctor, he said, what's that tie you're wearing? I understand our country cousin turned the end of his tie inside out like this and said, 100% turnings, what?
No.
Well, perhaps he did not quite say sport.
Dr. Chowdhury.
Well,
all the best. Seems an awfully nice chap.
Yes, but if old Grosset's in there, Tam's going to have a hard time. He's got a couple of questions, uses them all the time, his standard wog stoppers. The first is, tell me, Doctor, about medical care in your own country. In other words, why don't you just push off home? So, apparently, one time this toasty toddles in, and when it comes to Grosset, he says, tell me, Doctor, so what about, you know, etc. So, the chap says, I'm afraid, sir, that there are many beggars who have no access to health care whatever, but even for ordinary people, sir, the primary care is scarce and primitive. And in the government hospitals, sadly, many of the doctors have been completely corrupted by private practice. Oh, quite, says Grosset, and just remind me where you're from. Sir, he says, sir, I am from Paisley.
Maggie. Well, how was it?
Oh, my God.
We might begin with Dr. Roberts. Dr. Roberts?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Chowdhury, you've done your time, and that's quite a lot now, in both teaching hospitals and in district generals. How, in your view, do they compare for general medical experience?
They're different, of course. Mm. Both quite challenging. The DGHs offer a volume and breadth of experience in the common things, and more of the less common things than is assumed in other places. Whereas in teaching hospitals, and I am aware of the predominant influences here, there is, one hesitates to say it, less to do and, well, more to learn. Mm. More time to learn. Library access, the stimulus of learned colleagues, meetings and the like. In an ideal world, I suppose, everyone in training would have the opportunity to serve in both.
I'd agree entirely. You've done quite a lot of neurology. Do people need that for general medicine these days? Now that neurology could be described as the sort of stuff we all had to learn once, but only because the CAT scanner hadn't been invented yet.
Well, until all the district general hospitals can afford CAT scanners.
Quite. And what are your views, Dr. Chowdhury, on the contentious matter of reducing the number of training jobs in the NHS, registrar posts mainly? You know about that, I suppose.
A little. As I understand it, the key issue is not so much what happens to training jobs, but rather what consultants are for. As you know, if the proposals were accepted, there would be more chiefs and fewer subordinates, shall we say. Mm-hmm. In other words, the role of the consultant would be expanded downwards to take in many of the duties at present discharged by registrars. A change unwelcome, I think, to some.
Such as?
Well, most of all the surgeons coming in at night to do routine abdominal emergencies. Not so much fun at 60 as it is for a younger man.
Quite so. And for physicians?
Ah. Some rather dull clinics might find themselves graced more frequently by a consultant presence.
Admirably frank, Dr. Chowdhury. Mr. Chairman, I better not ask Dr. Chowdhury any more questions. Thank you.
Would it help to talk about it, Maggie? Generally, these things haven't gone as badly as people think at the time. Look, the important thing to remember is that we're all in this together.
Well, now, Dr. Chowdhury,
As a geriatrician, I am particularly interested in elderly persons, as you know. And, of course, so are a lot of other doctors these days. So what do you think should be done about the vexed problem of all these older patients who get stuck, well, blocking beds, as they say, in acute medical units?
Perhaps a stronger rehabilitation emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
Get the older patients up and going and get them home, where, of course, they want to be. Not always easy in the highly specialised units, but sometimes possible in the more general DGH context.
Yes, yes.
Thinking more radically, I suppose, we could diagnose a resources problem in the acute sector.
You mean these chaps here really need more acute beds, eh?
I didn't say that. Better acute care of the elderly might best be achieved by devoting resources to just that. Perhaps more acute beds to you geriatricians.
Thank you, Dr. Chowdhury.
Yeah. There we are, Bobby, yeah? Problem solved. Jan?
Dr. Chowdhury, just pursuing your point about redistribution of resources,
mm-hmm.
You may be aware that the board's trying to do something along these lines. How would you explain to physicians and surgeons in the acute sector that if services are to be kept in line with the medical needs of an ageing population, they're going to have to give up...
We're appointing a senior registrar.
Right.
Give up quite a lot of their existing resources.
Mm. Tricky one. But I think they would all agree that they're looking after more older patients than ever before, so at least they would agree there is something to discuss. But it's obviously a problem that has deep historical roots that won't be pulled up easily, so to speak. But medical units are now finding themselves with a task that they seem neither inclined nor equipped to do.
Good. No time.
Please go on, Dr. Chowdhury.
So perhaps new resources should be made available.
Where have we got to? What, huh? Who's this?
One moment, please, Dr. Roberts. Jan?
New resources, Dr. Chowdhury.
Uh-huh. You're right, of course. We must now grasp the nettle and redistribute. A fairly serious medical-political matter.
Mr. Chairman. Admirably put, Dr. Chowdhury. And I'm glad to say not a matter this committee has any jurisdiction over. Now, as time is passing, it remains only for me to ask if you have anything you would like to ask the committee.
No, thank you, sir.
Okay. Well, we must thank you very much, Dr. Chowdhury, for coming along. I think you know the form.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Chowdhury.
Thank you.
If he thinks he can just wander in halfway through and expect the rest of us...
That's
just
most unusual, I agree. A matter for our chairman.
The chairman and for the National Panel if he gets it wrong.
Gentlemen, thank you all very much. We're more or less holding to time now, after a late start. Now, two down, three to go.
Mr. Chairman, as the National Panelist appointed...
But before we ask anyone else in, I must just have a quick word with Prof. Nicholson. Excuse me.
A moment, Norrie.
Norrie, a couple of calls waiting for you.
No?
Yes. Came in just before two. Pretty urgent from the sound of things.
Oh, who?
St. Andrew's House, actually. Now, you'll need a quiet office and a phone, so I've arranged something just along the corridor.
Good.
The minister's private secretary, you understand, insisted on talking to you.
Of course.
It's perfectly all right. We can wait a few more minutes.
No problem.
Come on, Norrie, poke off.
Huh?
Well, you know the rules. We gave you 20 minutes and you were an hour adrift.
Oh, I see. No, but I haven't missed anything. The woman and then the black chap. Damn it, Jamie, even the next one's not much good.
Norrie,
it's a bloody big day for young Ratho.
I'm sure you're right, Norrie, but you know the old naval saying... Them what's keen gets fell in previous. Norrie, I'll make you sound awfully important. Sorry about all this. You're all being most patient with me on what's turning out to be a rather, less than straightforward afternoon. However, I must now inform you that Professor Nicholson absolutely insists that, in view of a development quite beyond his control, an urgent and most confidential matter at the highest level, may I say, we simply carry on as best we can without him.
Right.
Andy, would you be so good?
And when you think about it, being interviewed is just talking to people. And Graham's such a good talker, I'm sure he'll do really well. And he has worked for Professor Nicholson.
What's he like?
Well, Frank, the most important thing is not to be put off by his rather, well, incisive manner. Professor Nicholson is actually one of the nicest men you could meet. What people nowadays call a real pussycat.
And what are his research interests?
Well, he's terribly interested in non-aggregated gut lymphocyte function. Oh. Actually, he's supervising my PhD on it. Oh. And he's tremendously positive and encouraging. So I really shouldn't worry about him, Dr. McGrory. In spite of what everyone says. Don't you think so, Gautam?
Oh, I quite agree, Sandy. No need to worry about Prof. Nicholson.
It must be awfully difficult for you, Frank. But I suppose I'd find the same in Glasgow. Do you know Sir John?
No.
Sir John Grosset, another pussycat. Tremendously distinguished, with absolutely no side, despite his knighthood.
Mm. But he may well ask you a little about health care in the greater Glasgow area. Yeah. Might be a good idea to have something ready on that.
Well, good afternoon, Doctor. Dr. Duff. Good afternoon. Now, I'm sure the committee would be most interested in your views on the general issue of, old people in medical wards. Hmm?
Right. The truth is that what we call general medicine, medicine in its most general sense, that is inevitably going to include a fair bit of the kind of thing the average geriatrician could probably manage. Sorry, Dr. Bell, but I think you know what I mean. I better start again. What I mean is, geriatrics in most places, you know, in most hospitals, your average geriatric probably wouldn't care that much one way or the other. Let me put it another way. Because let's face it, old people are going to get into general medical wards, whatever you do. So I suppose... yes, but I couldn't agree completely with your question.
I see. No more questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bobby. Ms. McMillan?
Dr. Duff... what sort of interests do you have outside medicine?
I play the euphonium.
Really? Oh, tell me about it.
Well, I've done it since school, and with a wee group when I was a student. Well, I'm still doing it, but it's a question of time fitting in with the others. But we still do regular sessions, a bit of jazz, some pop classics, arrangements of songs, marches, and we're trying to expand our cabaret act a bit.
That's very interesting. I don't think I've ever met a euphonium player before. tell me about research. Well, not what you're doing just now, but about why you're doing it.
Right. It's sort of for a lot of reasons. People are expected to do research. It's probably good for making them think.
Go on.
Everybody does it, really.
I know, and I want to know why, in your opinion.
Yeah. There are lots of problems in clinical medicine that need to be looked at critically, and that needs research skills. So even if the research you're doing isn't very important, at least you're developing skills that'll make you a more critical and questioning doctor.
So you think we should be choosing our doctors on the basis of their research abilities?
That is the woman that she is.
Probably. Well, partly, at least. It's certainly something that's taken into account, at least at this stage.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. And what proportion of doctors do you think continues to do research when it's no longer a condition of further promotion?
Well, I, Sorry.
Well, it's a fascinating line of inquiry, Jan, and one which all of us may have particular views upon. Perhaps in the case of Dr. Duff, more freely expressed in other circumstances. Hmm? Unfortunately, time has caught up with us once again, and it remains only for me to ask Dr. Duff if he has any questions. Dr. Duff?
But once you've got some going, it's absolutely fascinating. Just watching non-aggregated upper gut lymphocytes. Time simply flies, and suddenly you find 2.5 hours has gone by. Incinerating's the word, I suppose. I don't even think of it as working for my PhD anymore. It's just such fun. You find research exhilarating, Dr. McGrory?
Well...
Dr. McGrory.
Ah.
Good luck, Frank.
Good luck.
Cheers.
Oh, now that we've all been introduced, without more ado, I'll ask Sir John Grosset to start us off. John.
Dr. McGrory, I hope you've had a pleasant journey across.
Yes, thanks.
Now, I'm afraid I don't know much about the schools in the West. What sort of school was it that you attended?
Oh, you know, just the school, the local school, primary and secondary.
Quite. And what games did you play? Cricket? A bit of rugby?
Football. And I ran a bit, you know, a distance.
And what was it that suggested medicine to you as a career? You're from a medical family, perhaps?
Well, actually, originally I was going to be a medical missionary.
Still thinking of going abroad?
I've actually done a couple of years in Nigeria.
Quite. Well, that must have been awfully interesting.
Well...
Thinking of going abroad again, Dr. McGrory.
Basically no problem. Really not that different from a registrar interview. I mean, why should it be? And no trick questions. A Grosset school in rugby. The wee woman from the board hobbies. Bell, who needs geriatricians. He looked as if he just needed a drink. Where's Tweety?
Yeah, she just slipped out. Do you know, I think I'm beginning to get a bit nervous.
Really not worth getting worked up about, Sandy.
I suppose you're right, Graham. Coming late in the alphabet often seems... Well, it means a bit of hanging about. Remember all those clinicals and orals and finals? Time it took. I used to feel quite sorry for myself. But then there were always other people who were worse off.
Quite.
Do you know, there was actually a girl in my year called Zeely.
No doubt most interesting to have had a little foreign experience, but may I say that it's becoming distinctly unusual nowadays to find people who've worked abroad coming back and trying to re-establish themselves in the NHS context. And I stress that in saying that, I'm in no sense casting doubt upon the value of your contribution in, Nigeria? Mm. But don't you feel that general medicine these days, in the developed countries at least, has become such a complex matter that those who are going to be serious about it would be best advised to do just that from the outset?
I'm not sure how much you know about modern tropical medicine, Dr. Watt. Probably the best way of explaining it, at least as far as urban West Africa is concerned, is general medicine plus malaria. It's diabetes, nephrology, coronary artery disease, and the usual cancers, and, of course, the malaria. A few specialists, so general medicine is more general. Less narrowly defined.
Yes, quite, but what I'm getting at, Dr. McGrory, is that in a busy service context in the third world, you were inevitably missing out on much in the way of essential research opportunities.
Well, I was actually kind of lucky there, Dr. Watt. The chap in charge was quite research-minded. He'd been head of internal medicine at Case Western, a big university in Ohio. You'll know it, of course.
Yes, but...
So we had a couple of wee projects going, as you'll see there from the CV. One in hypertension and one in infant nutrition. Well, there are a lot of problems with that in West Africa because, you know, people have been persuaded that artificial feeding is somehow better. In fact, it's expensive and quite often dangerous because of the water supply. So we had a research nurse, a Nigerian girl, local actually, very good and organised, you know, going into people's houses.
It's a most worthy cause, I'm sure, Dr. McGrory, but of limited relevance to the kind of thing I had in mind. In fact, illustrating the very problem I'm trying to get at, namely, but the medical research has become such a specialised and technical matter that time away from the major centres inevitably results in people falling behind. But just say you were appointed, Dr. McGrory, what research priorities would you identify here at home, as opposed to the kind of thing you got up to in Nigeria?
Well, there are quite a few things we don't know about Parkinson's disease, for example. And as well as straightforward clinical research, there's the whole area of health service research. A lot of medicine, here and abroad, is just unevaluated habit. And because resources are so scarce now, we ought to be looking very carefully at some of the things we do.
So you clearly don't think very highly of basic research?
Oh, no, I don't think I actually said that, Dr. Watt. But it has got to compete with clinical and health service research.
Yes, can I take it from that, Dr. McGrory, that you're against it in principle? Despite all the advances that so clearly have depended upon obtaining a fundamental understanding of the Bible.
And after all, it is an Edinburgh job, so... Yes, you're right, Graham. He somehow doesn't seem quite the type.
I can't see old Grosset being too impressed by Our Lady's Primary Car Finn and St. Adenoid's Court Bridge.
But an awfully nice chap, just the same.
But basically wasting his train fare. Well, Glasgow's different. They don't take our lads. We don't take theirs. Close shop both sides. And he must have been told something pretty terrible about his future to have applied for this, because there's a lot more jobs come up over there than ever come up here.
But it is an open system, Graham. Anyone can apply. Anyone can be interviewed, and anyone can be appointed, really.
Right enough. But we are not prejudiced. Mm. We interview women, blacks, and Glaswegians.
Graham! Maggie.
Everything is going to be all right.
Dr. Boyd. Maggie?
Now, let's see. I'd like to talk to Dr. McGrory now. Dr. Robert.
Your present job, Dr. McGrory, looks like hard work, on paper anyway.
Well, the standard district general routine.
So, on call 1 and 3, receiving every time, and a lot of emergency admissions.
It's steady.
You've got an outstanding undergraduate record, Dr. McGrory, in Glasgow, but you've never worked in a teaching hospital.
Well, before I went to Nigeria, I needed as much experience as possible.
And when you came back?
Oh, I just needed a job.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Brian? Dr. Bell?
Oh, good afternoon, Dr. McGrory. I wonder if you might like to tell us, in very general terms, of course, about perhaps your outside interests?
Sandy.
Yes, Maggie.
Sandy, have you ever considered accepting Jesus Christ into your life as your personal saviour?
And of course the use of specialists in the community in those polyclinics. Oh, yes, Dr. Bell, I'm sure there are one or two things we could learn about healthcare from the Eastern Bloc.
Thank you, Dr. McGrory.
Miss McMillan?
Hello again, Dr. McGrory.
Hello.
Your research, Dr. McGrory, I looked up a couple of your papers this morning. Because they were in journals I could get a hold of, The Lancet and the BMJ. Now, you seem to be very interested in Parkinson's disease. Why is that?
Well, as a matter of fact, my granny had a wee touch of Parkinson's. And there seemed to be quite a lot of it among older Nigerians. So the chap from Case West and myself...
Of the senior people in Edinburgh, he's always been the first to accept newcomers. Professors, I mean, obviously. And even the slightly strange ones, like that cardiology chap.
Dr. Russell.
Please give my regards to Professor Nicholson.
Oh, cow time.
The old bastard probably just forgot all about it. But I thought it would be more interesting to leave Sandy to find that out for himself.
Exactly. But Prof Nicholson did not quite forget. Oh. You know, Graham, it's been a strange afternoon. First, there is an empty chair on the other side of the table. No one mentions it or explains it. It's just there, a mysterious symbol of something or other. A little disturbing in its way, but not sufficiently so to spoil a perfectly routine and agreeable non-starter's interview, of the sort one is quite used to. Then, perhaps about 3 o'clock, difficult to be exact, one's mind on other things, there is a disturbance. Prof Nicholson rushes in like a madman. The national panelist appears to object, the chair ignores him, and all resumes as normal.
But when I went in...
Oh, yes. I thought they were going to let him stay. And I'm beginning to think, goodness, what is Edinburgh coming to? So I slipped outside afterwards for an unhealthy but much-needed cigarette. And was standing there when Prof Nicholson also emerged, displeased to see me. No, I mean, displeased to be seen by me. Because he was very much a man with, as you would say, his tail between his legs.
Well, good for Jamie.
So... Sandy will have to wait until tomorrow to pass on my regards.
See you later.
Maggie, where are you?
To pray. To pray for you. All of you.
Oh, dear. With no great prospect of success, I fear. Hello, Frank.
Is she all right?
No, Frank, not at all. And how did you get on with Professor Nicholson?
Well, I couldn't quite work that out. What happened to him?
Exactly what Sandy must be trying to work out now.
Dr. Ratto. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Now, I think you probably know one or two of us already.
Yes.
But you may not have met Miss Macmillan, representing the board.
Hello.
And Dr. Roberts from Glasgow, the national panellist. Good. So, who'd like to begin? Sir John.
Dr. Ratto, how are you? Loretto, wasn't it? And colours for rugger, cricket, and...
Golf, actually, Sir John.
Golf. And you kept up your sports through medical school... And still managed a jolly good academic record.
Thank you, Sir John.
And good teaching hospital house jobs with Norrie Nicholson and John Lochhead. Tell me about those.
Well, Sir John, I've always considered it a great privilege that I was able to do both my pre-registration.
Let's see. Chairman and Andy McSutton on voting. A panelist, don't know. Mick, what's her name from the board? Haven't a clue. Across it, Sandy Ratho, first, foremost, and all the time. What? I agree with Sir John. Bell, yes. Would someone be good enough to wake Dr. Bell and to tell him we'll be having sherry shortly? Dr. Bell? Difficult, but basically I'm on the establishment payroll because if I let them down, my miserable wee grade C merit award hasn't a hope in hell of being upgraded. On balance... You see, Ratho's got 3 out of 5, so it'll go through in the first cup of tea. They won't even have to read their tea leaves.
You're kidding.
Yes, I suppose I am about the tea leaves, but the rest is serious. Oh, yes, especially the merit award bit.
Yeah, I don't think they had them in Nigeria.
As somebody once said, it's like a bad fairy coming in at the birth of the health service. It will all be very straightforward and above board, except the merit awards. So... The old mafia moved in their smart new NHS demob suits and stitched the whole thing up all over again. Can you imagine the army, the civil service, or the nurses having a secret official slush fund? A great big pile of lovely free taxpayers' money for a few old buggers to hand out with judicious regard to nothing but their own best interests? Great!
Old Grosset and half a dozen like him in Scotland can keep the troops in order with their wee secret presence right to their 65th birthday. Oh, good chap, will double his money. A troublemaker? Let's be quite fair and review him in another 25 years.
Oh, come on, Graham. It's not quite like that.
It's probably worse. Interesting fact for today. Of the last three consultants they've had to fire, let's say they've had to recommend semi-voluntary early retirement with great reluctance on health grounds, in other words, fired. It doesn't happen often, so 3 is 10 years' worth, but all 3 had merit awards. 2 hopeless drunks and a psychopath. A surgeon, a clinical chemist, and the fabled psychiatrist, wife-beater, and child abuser.
Oh, Graham, you're a terrible gossip.
All honourable men. 2 B's and an A. The psychiatrist, for God's sake.
Well, now you've explained it.
We should all start beating our wines.
And, of course, as receiving medical registrar on call, one can be kept extremely busy all night. Not just with the difficult specialist problems of the sort centres of excellence inevitably attract, but with routine stuff, indeed, a great deal of it, coming in through a very busy accident and emergency department.
Yes, fine, but I asked how often the unit you work in is on tick. Once a week?
Yes.
Thank you. And the rota?
Well, quite busy, really.
I see. Dr. Ratho, Professor Nicholson's unit's bound to have a lot of doctors around. How often are you on call?
1 in 6, or even as often as 1 in 4.
And does that include...
Including covering the junior people on the rota.
So, serious call? Maybe 1 in 10, or maybe even less. Actually in the front line for about 1 night in 40.
Well, yes.
It's nothing personal, Dr. Ratho, nor the kind of thing any national panellist would want to know. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Tan?
I see you're very much kept to teaching hospital posts, Dr. Ratho.
Yes.
At least so far. Dr. Ratho, do you ever feel you've missed out on anything by never having left the place where you train?
I'm aware, of course, of the terrific opportunities in the less central hospitals, but for the more academically minded, well, you know, it's awfully tempting to stay around and practically inevitable now with one's PhD commitments.
But you're on soft money now, aren't you? A drug company thing?
It's a K&M fellowship, actually.
I see. And perhaps you can explain a little about your research.
Well, it's actually, it's actually not very easy to explain to a lay person.
Go on, Dr. Ratho. Try it, anyway. And you've been at it about 2 years now? But nothing published yet?
Well, it's what we call basic research on immunological mechanisms in the small intestine. And, of course, one has presented preliminary results to meetings here and there.
But nothing published yet. At least so far. Now, Dr. Ratho, perhaps you can tell us about your outside interests.
Oh, well, as Sir John
other was... than sports, of course.
Come on, Maggie. Can't be much longer now.
It's all right for you. You're a man.
I'd be interested to hear how you see yourself fitting in, if indeed you were to be appointed to this post, to the kind of activities, and I'm referring, of course, to teaching as well as research, the academic departments have to undertake.
Well, Dr. Watt, I think in many ways one would be quite prepared. Mm-hmm. Undergraduate and indeed postgraduate teaching are, after all, among one's ongoing commitments at present, and very enjoyable too. And of course one's current research is firmly rooted in an academic department, and, well, one would hope simply to be able to get on with that, if appointed.
Thank you, Dr. Ratho.
Okay, Hamish? Well, Dr. Ratho, thank you for coming along. Any questions for us?
No, I don't think so.
Well, the committee hopes to reach a decision fairly quickly, so if you care to hang around downstairs.
Thank you so much, Dr. Walker.
Oh, now, how would people feel about some tea? And, of course, a glance at the references.
And I have found, over the years, there's no point in making any firm arrangements. I can never tell the outcome, obviously. Or how one will feel on the afternoon or the evening. So I don't plan. And you, Maggie?
Never the least doubt.
Oh.
Choir practice.
Ah, I see. And you, Frank?
Oh, no problem. Just go home.
I'm going to get drunk. Stinking, rotten drunk, either way. As if there's much doubt about it. I mean, look at it. You start doing exams when you're 5 or 7 or something. You survive school. You get into medical school. You sit your last exam when you're nearly 30. A membership of the Royal and Ancient College of Physicians, no less. Remember that? And then gradually it dawns on you that there are still these wee things called interviews. Like exams, but there aren't any standards or rules. At least not standards or rules that make sense to anybody but an anthropologist or maybe an astrologist. And any of us could do the job. Any of us. But they have to decide. So they ask you what position you played, for Christ's sake. Then they come out and tell you, sorry, Dr. Duff, we're looking for a scrum half, and preferably one from Loreto. A question of team style, really. Not that you can't play rugby, it's just that we want people who play our style of rugby.
Hello, Sandy. And how did it go?
It's always so difficult to tell. Don't you find that, Gautam?
I think it gets easier with a bit of practice, Sandy.
Well. Shall we press on? Mm. Well, we've seen the chaps, read the references. Time perhaps to get an overview or two. Sir John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I say first how happy I am that this important appointment has attracted such an outstanding field of candidates, each with distinct and separate strength of his or her own, each with an excellent background of clinical experience, and each with more than adequate academic and research credentials. But it is in the nature of occasions such as this that we must make distinctions, and if I might just run through the candidates in no particular order. Young Duff, pleasant young man, first time out, who will undoubtedly go far in due course. A little tongue-tied, not to say confused by your point, Bobby. Not, I thought, really up to the standards of one or two of the others. Poor Dr. Boyd, by contrast, has been around for some time. But sadly, neither diversifies from her diabetes nor really improves in it. Dr. Chowdhury, and where would the NHS be without the services of our colleagues from the new Commonwealth, also seemed a little bit out of his depth, particularly weak on publications, though he had us all thinking afresh about the bed-blocking problem. True. Ratho, an excellent all-rounder, on everything from research to rugger, with a very sound local record, virtually doing already the job we're appointing for. And may I say, it's a great pity Norrie Nicholson couldn't be with us this afternoon. But his reference, as you've seen, absolutely unequivocal. Oh, yes, and that pleasant young man from the West really doesn't seem for the moment to know what he wants to do, but who, like young Duff, may yet go far. So, may I say again, Chairman, a quite excellent field.
Thank you, John. And Dr. Watt?
Well, Mr. Chairman, as so often on these occasions, Sir John has put the matter in the proverbial nutshell. No, a most interesting field, but perhaps a little more limited when one looks for a balance of relevant strength across the board. Duff is very raw, Chowdhury weak on research, Dr. Boyd frankly getting stale now in hospital medicine, young McGrory, well, he still has to shake the sands of Africa from his boots and settle down in something that suits him, if he hasn't left it too late. And Sandy Ratho, while perhaps a little light on the rough and tumble of district general life, undoubtedly scores high right across the board. And he has excellent local references. Hmm? But I'd be most interested to hear the views of others.
You will, Hamish, you will. Dr. Roberts?
Mr. Chairman, I could hardly disagree more. In fact, I'm beginning to wonder if I've been seeing the same candidates. For the record, and strictly within my remit as a national panellist, I'd like to point out that Ratho is very close to the danger line. These nebulous clinical attachments with 1 in 36 rotas, so the gallant lads in the laboratories can keep their hand in, have come in for a lot of criticism lately. You can see why. If you compare the actual clinical experience involved with that of people like Chowdhury or McGrory or the girl, Boyd. And what's Ratho been up to when he's not been getting his clinical experience? He's a full-time researcher in drug company money. 2 years down, one to go for his PhD and no relevant publications. So, what's left of your all-rounder? Oh, yes. Clinical teaching to fill up the time between coffee and lunch, I suppose. He's marginal. Probably just above the line, but as far as I'm concerned, all the rest are fine.
Thank you, Dr. Roberts. Miss McMillan?
Well, stressing the positive, it's clear that Dr. Chowdhury's not only had a lot of useful experience, but that he's thought about it as well. Dr. Duff's enthusiasm came through now and then. Dr. Boyd, a committed specialist, obviously. Dr. Ratho, well, I think a lot of patients would find his manner reassuring. Dr. McGrory, very impressive, especially when you remember he's done his own thing, away from it all in darkest Africa and greater Glasgow.
Thank you, Jan. Bobby?
It's difficult, isn't it? The Boyd lass really ought to get out and have a family or something. And Duff needs a couple of years somewhere, getting the rougher corners knocked off him. Chowdhury, he's like so many of these chaps. Registrar, yes. Senior registrar, no. He hasn't got it on the research side. Wee McGrory was a lot of fun. He's one of those unusual doctors who wants to help people. And like Jan, I was impressed by his publications. Journals you'd actually heard of. And, of course, we all know Sandy Ratho. Huh? An awfully nice chap. And well into what is obviously a very sound PhD.
Good. Thank you, Bobby. A useful exercise, I think. Now, perhaps there are one or two candidates whom the committee might feel we need no longer discuss in detail. They're just going round the table once again.
Hey.
Yes, 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 acknowledging all that, and of course being greatly impressed by the range of his interests, malaria, tropical malnutrition, even Parkinson's disease, one's still forced to conclude that here we have a chap of undoubted talent who remains sadly a bit unfocused. Badly advised, perhaps. I think one of us should probably have a word with him afterwards.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Steady on.
Sir John?
And having considered these two candidates in some detail, I find myself recognising that our final decision will be an extremely difficult one. But when one takes into account the rather steadier record of Dr. Ratho, the distinctly less erratic career pattern, the commitment to substantial rather than merely opportunistic research, and as the clinical side of things, well, it really is a great pity that Professor Nicholson was called away.
Oh, I think we can probably manage.
On that extremely urgent matter. But his reference is one that we would do well to set great store by.
Bobby?
Oh, dear, it's... It all seemed so obvious a few hours ago. But like Sir John, I find myself wishing we had two posts to fill. A chap like McGrory, great deal to give, eh? He could still be a wonderful medical missionary. Maybe as a consultant somewhere in Lanarkshire, eh? No, and then again, there's the Sandy, of course. Definitely a bit more of an academic. And with such wholehearted local support.
Dr. Roberts?
Mr. Chairman, we probably ought to be taking a closer look at this wholehearted local support business. Either you do these things properly or you don't. You certainly started properly.
Really?
The job was advertised nationally. You got quite a decent short list. You asked the national panel to send someone along. And if you want to go on doing the thing properly, you have to keep your local enthusiasms in check.
Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Robert.
Of course, there's another way of doing it. And that's to scribble a notice on a card, smart boy wanted, and stick it in your own wee shop window, facing inwards. And if that's what you're doing, you should say so and admit you're wasting your money on McGrory's travelling expenses and Chowdhury's, and for that matter, mine. Interviews are either open or they're not. They're either fair or they're unfair, and you can't just pick the rules that suit you and ignore the rest. Now, the longer I've sat here, the more obvious it's been that that's what's going on. But there's one rule that you're stuck with, whether you like it or not. To make an appointment like this, you need a national panelist in the room, and even if I decide I can do without a breath of fresh air and an early train back to Queen Street, there's still the strong possibility of a formal report to the national panel. On which Edinburgh representation, I'm glad to say, is in a distinct minority.
I've always been a great admirer of the Glaswegian sense of humour. And, of course, it's extremely refreshing for us to have available the unique expertise of an experienced national panellist such as Dr. Roberts, as well as to have his uniquely objective, not to say detached, opinion on what is clearly going to be a very important appointment for us. But these senior registrar posts are always coming up here in Glasgow and, for that matter, in Aberdeen and Dundee, not only in general medicine but also in specialties such as geriatric medicine, where the late starter, perhaps with some exotic experience behind him, might find a very
useful role. Muttons, Hamish, let's return to them.
So, on balance, and the thing is very finely balanced indeed, and for the overall good of the service, probably, Dr. Rathall, but only by the very narrowest of margins.
Thank you, Hamish. Jan?
Do these things ever go to the vote?
Oh, indeed they do, Jan. On occasions. I think we must now make a serious effort to reach a conclusion within a reasonable time. So to that end, and in the absence of any obvious consensus, we shall follow the procedure laid down. Andrew has come equipped with a piece of paper which proves invaluable on such occasions. I shall ask round the table for first and second preferences. Andrew, having noted down the ones and twos opposite the names of the candidates, will do a little sum. He is, after all, a trained community medicine specialist. He'll then inform us of the result, and our young colleagues downstairs can be spared any further suspense. Miss McMillan.
One, Dr. McGrory. Two, Dr. Rathall.
Sir John?
One, Dr. Rathall. Two, Dr. McGrory.
Dr. what?
One, Dr. Rathall. Two, Dr. McGrory.
Dr. Roberts?
One, Dr. McGrory. Two, Dr. Rathall.
Dr. Bell?
Oh, yes, yes. Dr. McGrory.
Thank you. Andrew, sum up, please.
Dr. McGrory, three first preferences.
And Dr. Rathall?
Two.
Thank you, Andrew. So, there we have it. As has been said throughout our deliberations this afternoon, a difficult decision, but now a binding one. Mm-hmm. I wonder, Andrew, if you'd be so good as to ask Dr. McGrory if he would like to join us once more?
Well, now, I think in one of these cupboards the board has provided a politically non-controversial and even quite drinkable medium dry sherry. Bobby, you're probably nearest.
Glad to help.
Oh, Bobby, how kind.
Dr. McGrory. Dr. McGrory.
Oh, no.
Dr. McGrory. Well, it's my pleasant duty to inform you that the committee, after due deliberation, has decided that you should be offered the post of senior registrar in general medicine. Perhaps a little sherry, Dr. McGrory. I think all concerned have earned one.
No, thanks, Mr. Chairman. And look, I'm really sorry if I've put you to a lot of trouble, but...
Well, the offer of the job, that is just that. No more, no less. Should you have decided for any reason, and you're under no obligation to explain that you feel unable to accept it, all you have to do is to inform us.
Well, no thanks, Mr. Chairman. And I'm sorry if I've put you to any extra trouble.
Oh, my dear chap, don't mention it. It's no problem whatsoever. I'm just sorry if you've been put to a lot of trouble. From our point of view, it's perfectly all right.
Oh, good. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, Dr. McGrory. Good luck. Well, one moment, please. The procedure now dictates that the committee is free to appoint the next most favoured candidate without further detailed discussion if that meets with general approval. Everyone reasonably happy with that? Andrew, and you might want to move fairly quickly. Yes, well, Dr. Roberts, an interesting afternoon.
Yes. Interesting chap, McGrory.
You know him?
Oh, I know all of him. Very bright as a student, gold medalist and all that. Ah. And then more or less straight off to the jungle.
That's intriguing. Idealism, really, I suppose. Not many of them these days.
Yeah, but now he's back, there's quite a lot of interest in Glasgow's own wee Albert Schweitzer.
Ah, I see.
He may have been offered something, but probably not. He's dead straight, as you saw.
Perhaps just decided against a move to Edinburgh.
Could be.
Well, it does no harm, that sort of thing. It's no harm at all.
Sandy.
Sir John.
Sandy, let me be the first to congratulate you.
How kind, Sir John.
But you'd better hear it officially from Jamie Walker, over there with a well-earned sherry for you. And I must just have a moment with Andrew. Andrew.
Sir John?
Yes, Andrew, I shall have a very firm word with Norrie Nicholson about punctuality. And in return, I expect you to take a little more care about lay representation from the board. Now, isn't there a rather jolly coal merchant, Chappie, that was on this panel before?
Dr. Walker.
Jan.
Thank you. A most interesting afternoon.
Yes. Sorry about all that. We're not usually quite so disorganized. But thank you, Jan. A little common sense goes an awfully long way on afternoons like these. You will be able to help again, I hope.
Yes.
Good. Thank you so much. Yeah, Dr. Roberts.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Good try.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Roberts. Most helpful, most helpful. Awfully good for people to have their horizons opened a bit, even if it means someone coming 44 miles to do it for them. Splendid. Now, I must just have a word with John Grosset. Ah, John.
Well, Jimmy, you've just spared me a jolly difficult phone call with old Joe Raffo. But not by much. Strangest thing was, I actually like little McGrory.
Yes.
I really do hope he does well on the Glasgow scene. Deserves to. Kind of fellow who'll make a perfectly decent consultant for the likes of Monklands, Hairmyers, or Law, any of their DGHs, in fact. And 5 years from now, we'll probably run into him at the Scottish Society of Physicians and be jolly glad to meet him.
I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, I'm a great believer in new blood, Jimmy. Do you remember that little chap with the beard?
Cheers, Tam.
Cheers.
So, Grosset's a fixer. We watch a creep. Norrie Nicholson's getting senile and Jamie Walker's still doing his best. And nothing's changed. But very odd about wee McGrory.
Distinctly.
gets the job, then says stuff it.
Well, perhaps not in those exact words, conveying that general impression, we presume, but I think I see his point.
I bloody don't. I'd have jumped at it.
They didn't ask you, young Graham. No, I think our colleague was surprised and embarrassed and wanted nothing more than to get onto the train back to Glasgow. A fish out of water. And what he must have thought of us.
God, yes. Maggie going mad. Rathel.
You were not too kind yourself, Graham. No, I think Dr. McGrory is still a young man with time on his side, and he would not have liked it here.
What about you, Tom?
Oh, the usual offers from home.
Like jobs?
Those as well. No, I gave myself one more try. Then it's the offers. Banking family, doctorate in philosophy, extensive business interests. And you know, some of them are very nice girls.
You're kidding.
No, Graham. Like young McGrory, I shall go home. Though it's taken me longer to make up my mind. 6, I think, is enough of sitting there wondering if the laws of the universe are going to change in my favour.
But you could get them. Race relations and all that.
In theory, maybe. In practice, well, it would simply not be practical. Now, these are complex local issues. Powerful interests are involved. And when buffaloes fight, frogs are crushed, Graham. Another pint, perhaps? Being a frog in such times is thirsty work.
In Smart Boy Wanted, the cast was as follows. The committee, Sir John, Tom Fleming, Dr. Walker, Paul Young, Dr. Bell, Roy Hanlon, Dr. Roberts, Finlay Welsh, Dr. Watt, Crawford Logan, Miss Macmillan, Grace Glover, and Professor Nicholson, Martin Heller. The candidates, Dr. Chowdhury, Madhav Sharma, Dr. Boyd, Anne-Louise Ross, Dr. Duff, Sandy Welsh, Dr. McGrory, Sam Graham, Dr. Ratho, John Ramage, and Dr. McSoot and the receptionist, Bill Murdoch. Smart Boy Wanted was written by Colin Douglas and directed in our Glasgow studios by Patrick Rayner. This is Radio 4.
BBC News at 4 o'clock. The Foreign Secretary, Douglas Hurd, has said an agreement is close on a UN Security Council resolution on Bosnia. He told the world this weekend that it would aim to guarantee the supply of humanitarian aid to the Republic and might involve the use of force. But he insisted that force couldn't be used to separate the opposing factions. Mr. Hurd also rejected suggestions that Britain wasn't doing enough to tackle the crisis.
The scale of suffering is such that we are bound to help, and we are. And if you go to Yugoslavia, as I've done, and many others have now done, you find British people, members of all three armed services, civilians in many walks of life, actually helping. And, of course, on the peacemaking front, on the efforts to reach agreement, and it's only by agreement that this fighting will eventually come to an end, we have certainly taken the lead.
The Liberal Democrat leader, Paddy Ashton, is in Bosnia as a guest of the Bosnian Serbs. He's requested to see a number of detention camps. Israel's new government has confirmed that it's to propose legalizing contacts with the Palestine Liberation Organization. The Justice Ministry said it was drafting an amendment to a law passed in 1986 which forbids contact with the PLO. A spokesman said they had a deep obligation to change the law. Thousands of people are reported to have fled from the Afghan capital Kabul because of fierce rocket and artillery battles between rival Mujahideen factions. Negotiations are underway to bring about a ceasefire in the fighting, which is now in its second day. Hampshire's Assistant Chief Constable John Wright has denied that travellers camping illegally near Winchester cooperated with police when a building on the site was set on fire. He said officers had to help firemen get near the building, and there had been systematic damage to other parts of the site. Earlier, the travellers said they'd helped arrest someone for starting the fire. BBC Radio News.